Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Isn't it amazing to be loved? You know, if people love you, that's wonderful. There's a great gift. We are created for that. But all people will let you down. But there's one who never will. And it's always astounding to me that the Lord knows everything about me, and yet he loves me. Man, that's incredible. When did that thought actually hit you? How old were you? Where were you? You were listening to a preacher? It's amazing, the places we found it. I found it in the front seat of an old 1965 Pontiac Le Mans two-door. Red. Arrest me red was the color of that, probably. Alrighty, let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, New Testament. Let's pray together before we read the scripture, shall we? In Galatians 4, let's pray one more time. Lord, we are your people. This is your book. You know how messed up we are. You know all the growth and changes that need to happen in our lives that we don't seem to have the power to make, to change. We submit ourselves to you today and ask that you continue this work in each of us, as of course as you have promised, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4 of Galatians 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons and daughters. That means, you know, of children. One more time. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Paul's writing to the Galatians. They've gotten it all messed up. He is really hot. If you read the first couple of chapters, he is smoking hot. He's talking about how they have veered off of what the gospel was. To a bunch of Jewish fables, some Jewish false teachers had come into the church and told all these people they had to follow Jewish customs and rules in order to be Christians. That men had to be circumcised and they had to follow all the rest of this in order to be good Christians. And it was baloney. Smelled like smoke. We knew where it was from. And Paul rips them. Okay, I mean, he rips them. He says, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than the gospel that we preach to you, let them go to hell, is what he's saying. You know, they translate it because they want to be nice. Let them be accursed, okay? But literally, it's that. I mean, he is really, really angry and offended, and he straightens them out. And so he's trying to tell them, look, you've already got everything you need. The death of Jesus was all of it. You don't have to act like a pauper trying to somehow earn your own way now. That somehow Jesus opened the door and then you got to be this perfect little person in order to get to heaven. Salvation is complete at the moment that you believe. And he has promised to never let us go. We're full children of God. Y'all ever been to Meadowbrook Hall there at Oakland University? You know, years ago, that was an incredible farm, that whole area. The Dodge family built that house, and it's beautiful. My mother, who retired from the university, she worked in anthropology for years for the dean, and then for years after that, she went into the School of Performing Arts, and she really loved working with that. We went to all the stuff there. But she loved that mansion, and she always wanted to take us there every year and go through there. And we'd always play golf at Khaki Cousins, the golf course that's there. And you have to be an alumnus in order to play. So if any of you graduated from Oakland, talk to me, will you? Should be good to your pastor. You know what I'm talking about? But we would always have to pause at the one par three that goes along the back of the mansion. I mean, it's a beautiful piece of American artwork. All American craftsmen. The carvings within that place and the woodwork are beautiful. The stonework is like, we couldn't find people to do this work anymore. It's absolutely a beautiful place. We go every Christmas for the Christmas walk. with friends, and we see Santa Claus and eat their cookies in the ballroom there. We just, it's been part of our lives. I've done some weddings there that I have great memories of. After my friend Andy Anderson died, his daughter was getting married there. And they asked me to do the wedding. Andy, who I went to seminary with, I know he was the Honda dealer, but he also studied to be a pastor and had a bunch of ability and was ordained. And he was going to give his daughter away and then take over the rest of the service while he up and died on us from pancreatic cancer. And so I did that in the Rose Garden there. I've had a few there. It's beautiful. These guys actually flew in a band. Dave, they flew in a band from New York City to play in the ballroom that day. It was really quite... They should have just bought the kids a new house instead of doing that, but it was great. It was a great thing. And then I remember my friend Kathy, who was a little girl in our junior church 45 or so years ago, and when I was in, maybe longer than that, she got married at Christmas time, and it was on that grand staircase there, all decorated for Christmas with that grandfather clock behind them on the landing. I can still see and smell the spice of the potpourri in the room. It was, we've had a lot of wonderful times there. You know, there's something about the Dodge family. They had two children, and their son passed away on his honeymoon. He drowned. And Mrs. Dodge adopted two children, a boy and a girl, two orphan kids. Brought them in, gave them a room, got them educated, but they were always the adopted kids. She was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Yet, when the kids turned 18, they had to go. They went to college, they had to go, and they were given $10,000, which was a lot of money back then. But it wasn't the full estate. And no matter what, they weren't blood kin. And everybody knew it, and they knew it. I've never been able to talk to those kids who were still alive. I'd love to talk to them about how that made them feel, but of course they would never darken the reputation of the family by doing that. But, I mean, it's really something to say you adopt a child, but they're still the adopted, they're still the orphan, they're still the second rate. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel that way when you talk to the Lord? Do you feel that everybody else is a better Christian than you? Do you feel that God loves everybody else more than you because you don't think you deserve it? How do you feel about all of that? That plagues all of us. The enemy loves to demean you. He likes to tell you that you don't matter, that your needs are nothing compared to others, that you're not valued, you're not really thought of. Everyone is more important than you. He's a liar. Do you understand that God, who is all-powerful and all-knowing and everywhere at the same time, cares as much about your needs as somebody in Uganda? He cares about you as much as anybody else. And when you speak, you have his ear. That's why Jesus commanded us to talk to him, to ask and it would be given us, seek that we would find, knock on his door and he would answer it. You are full children. Look at what he's done. There's some things here. Paul's trying to tell him, look, you're not second rate. You don't have to take on a bunch of new customs in order to somehow be a good Christian. He talks about what the Lord has done to make you and me his kids, his full-blooded kids. And usually, I've only read this portion at Christmas. When the time had fully come, God sent his son. You know, I mean, but I want you to see something. I want you to see three things. I want you to see the details behind God's plan to save you. I want you to see the desire that God had for you. And last of all, I want you to see your destiny, okay? Let me give them to you quickly. First of all, I want you to see the details. Let me give you just a brief history lesson. 1,700 years before the birth of Jesus, 3,700 years ago, 3,700 years ago, we think America is so old, being what, 240 or whatever it is. We're a blip, and by the way, it's a wonderful blip, and I love this country. But I'm just saying, I mean, when my brother comes from Europe with his wife, we talk about how old something is, and they go, pfft. You know, I told you, the churchy pastors, the building was built in 900, right? So, I mean, you know, they poo-poo us. Well, way older than that, way older than that, way back. There was this group of Bedouins. That means people lived in tents in the desert, all right? They were not educated. They were not sophisticated. They traveled with their animals. Some of you love the smell of the farm because you were raised there. I don't like it much, okay? Because animals are like stinky, okay? They traveled with herds of animals. You could smell them coming before you could see them, okay? These people, somehow, 1,700 years before Jesus was born, came up with this idea that there was one God. And that one God had created the universe and us and had called them to go to their promised land. They came up with this monotheistic idea, this idea of one God that was so sophisticated and so in tune with the way the world really is, it's astonishing. Where'd they get that? These same Bedouin people, by the way, they've become the greatest people in our world today. You look at creativity. Those of us in music, look at the Jewish people involved. Look at them. Look at the names of the songwriters. Look at the performers. Look at the conductors. Look at the scientists. Look at those who have discovered the great things in our world, that have made great life-changing discoveries. 90% of them are Jewish. They came from that little Bedouin group 3,700 years ago that were living with their smelly goats, okay? How does that happen? I'll tell you how that happens. They were God's people. And God appeared to a man named Moses in a burning bush. God appeared to a man named Abraham, and the Jewish nation began. When they were slaves, God appeared to Moses and brought him out of Egypt. I mean, all of this happened, this incredible history. It all happened. There's only one explanation. You want proof that God exists? Look at the Jewish people. How can they still exist? Have you heard the hatred for the Jewish people in the news these last weeks? Everybody trying to get resolutions to hurt Israel, to censure Israel. I mean, it just never ends for these people. They're in a country as big as New Hampshire, right? And it's the center of the world historically and as far as the news media goes. Why? Because they're God's people. That's why. You get that? Okay, now, 1,000 years later, the Greco-Roman Empire was created. But about 700 BC, the Greco-Romans, they were amazing. They developed a road system so that you could go anywhere in the then Western world. Incredible. They came up with a common coinage and a common language. For the first time in all of history, an idea could permeate the entire Western world. Now, these two cultures, they moved parallel, the Jewish culture and the Greek-Roman culture. They moved parallel for all these centuries. And then at one moment in history, they intersected. Do you know what happened when they intersected? There was this man named Jesus of Nazareth that was born at that very moment. All of a sudden, the news about this Jesus of Nazareth could travel to the whole world. If this would have happened 40 years before the actual birth of Jesus or 40 years after, you'd have never known his name. How'd that happen? Why'd that happen? Because God is the God of all history. And he directs all of this. The details that he has gone to is amazing. And also, the Greeks, they developed early forms of molecular physics. They believed that this stuff wasn't really solid, that it was always moving. But they knew that. How they knew that is, I cannot fathom. But they wrote about it, but they couldn't figure out what held it all together. So you know what word they invented to describe what held it all together? You're going to like this Greek word. The Logos. And then the Jewish people, in their world, they believed that God had spoken and the world was created. That he spoke and it held together. And in the first century, John wrote after the death of Jesus, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and that light shined in the darkness. And the Logos, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, talk about it all coming together. That truly is amazing. And also, when you think of it this way, all cultures everywhere always had this, like, it's almost in our DNA, this whole need to make a sacrifice. Look at all the weird religions that men have devised in order to somehow feel better, to think somehow they've appeased the gods through sacrifice. It's really gross. But that need, that knowing that a sacrifice had to be, is through all cultures. That's amazing. And when the time, as the King James Version said, when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son. He was sent. Now check this out. Check the details. Born of a woman. We know that whole story, right? Virgin birth. Are you kidding me? But it's true. Read the Gospels. Look at the history of Jesus. He was born of a woman, and yet was God and man at the same time. 100% man, 100% God. I can't figure that out, but the scriptures say it's true. He was born of a woman. You know what that means? That he was really human. That he walked in our real world. He wasn't some idea that somebody had. He was a historical, real person. When the time had fully come, God sent forth his son. Born of a woman. And get this, born under the law. He came under this system. And in the Jewish world, it was the Jewish system that nobody could ever fulfill. Constant sacrifices in Jerusalem. Constant appeasement of the true God of Israel. Nobody could fulfill it. Everybody knew they fell down. It was Jesus who said, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one way, you're guilty of all of it. Perfection or nothing. The law, the Bible tells us, was our school teacher to lead us to Christ. Why? Because Jesus came under the law and he said, I didn't come here to abolish the law. I came here to fulfill it. And he lived the perfect life and then laid that perfect life down as a sacrifice for you and me. You know the story. So that we could actually be perfect in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did. Jesus took his perfection and gave it to us. And Jesus took our sin and took it on himself and died in our place. That's incredible. When the time had fully come, God sent forth his son. Born of a woman, born under the law. These details are incredible. They are incredible. There's nothing like this in all of human history. Sue has horses. Sue and Greg, they live out on a farm north of Clarkston. When Melina, my niece, that is the queen of Facebook, she loves to ride. When I was in Switzerland, I went with her to the farm where she would ride, an ancient old place. So when she came, I had talked to Sue about bringing Melina out to ride. And so we arranged a day we were going to come. And of course, her husband, Ari, my favorite truck driver, and their little baby, went and the four of us went out to the farm. And Ari and I and the baby, we were just going to look at the animals and do our stuff. But Sue, who had everything prepared when we got there and got Melina's helmet on and her riding boots and all of her stuff, and she said, okay, you guys, if you want, I have prepared the gazebo for you. Prepare the gazebo. We came out for a horse ride. Melina's going to ride for a while. We're going to hang out, and then we're going to go home. We go into the gazebo. We open the door of that screen gazebo behind their house. It was a banquet. I mean, there was fresh fruit. There was fresh baked cheese, Danish. I used to buy those all the time going through McDonald's. And then when I would go with Debbie, I would never get a cheese Danish, just a coffee. So one day I was driving through the Clarkston McDonald's, and I said, small coffee, please, and honey, would you like anything? No, no. And the person on the speaker says, what about the cheese Danish? You doing that today? She had cheese Danish. She had two different kinds of coffee. There was everything you can imagine for a brunch inside the gazebo for three of us. And one of us was a little girl. Who goes to that kind of detail? I'll tell you who does. Sue does. It's a precious lady, and I love her. for her kindness to her to my family and her kindness to me. But I mean, that detail. But look at the detail the Lord went to so that you could be his. Not just forgiven, just not make it in by the skin of your teeth. You are a full child of God because of what Jesus did. The detail is amazing. Okay, look at the desire. Why did he do all this stuff? Well, it's simple. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Here it is, sports fans. To redeem those under the law. Do you know what? You didn't need just a little fix. We needed to be redeemed. We didn't need to be reformed. We didn't need to be remodeled. We didn't need to be refined. We needed to be redeemed. You know what it literally means? Redeemed means you go to a marketplace and there's something you want and you lay down the money and you buy it. That's what God did for you with the blood of his own son. He purchased you. That's how much he wanted you. He purchased you. I got this guitar today. This is just one of only a couple that I have. This was given to me by Doyle Dykes. This was the first prototype of his Taylor signature guitar. And it's a wonderful instrument. It has the original rose. Remember his rose story? That's on the front of that guitar. Yeah, I love that guitar. It's really cool. But Doyle gave me his half of it. But Bob Taylor, that's the Taylor guitar guy, he owned the other half. If I wanted that guitar, I had to buy the other half. I had to buy it. And I had seen it, and I had loved it, and I had wanted it. And I bought it. Well, with Debbie's permission. I bought half of it, okay? But God bought all of us. Hear about the little boy that he made a sailboat. Back in early 1900s, little boys would make little sailboats and tie a string to them and go along the river or along the lake and sail their boats. One day, the little boy, after building this boat that he just loved, he was out on the lake. And the string came off, and the wind was blowing from off the land, and it blew across the lake, and he never saw it again. Heartbroken. He loved that boat. But one day, walking through town, he's going by an old pawn shop, and in the window was his boat for sale. And he went in, and he said, "Sir, that's my boat. I was sailing it months ago, and my string came off, and it sailed across the lake, and I never thought I would see it again. Can I have my boat?" And the owner said, "No, that's my boat. I bought that boat. If you want it, it's this much money. You got to buy it." And the little boy went out and started sweeping out people's yards. He started cutting grass, trimming bushes, digging weeds, anything he could to make a little bit of money. And after a few months of working night and day, he went back into that pawn shop with a bag full of money, and he laid it down, and he came out with his little boat. And you know what he was heard saying? "I made you, and I bought you. You're mine twice. You are his twice. He redeemed you." Isn't that just a great thought? That is what the whole work of Christ was about. When he was 12 years old, remember him? 12 years old, he goes up to Passover from Nazareth with his parents. And when the Passover was over, they're traveling home, travel about a day. And they just figured that Jesus was with the other boys. That's what boys do, just let the kids play. So they travel a whole day. When they get to their place, they're going to stay that night. They look around and Jesus isn't there. Have you seen Jesus? No, he hasn't been with us at all today. Really, did anybody see him? No, nobody has seen him. And they freaked out. And Joseph and Mary, they go back to Jerusalem. They go a full day's journey back. And then for two more days, they've been searching for 3 days now. Finally, they don't know where else to go. They go to the temple and there he is, standing amidst the teachers of the law. Now listen, when a Jew says the teachers of the law, this is Harvard Law School of Jerusalem. And here's a 12-year-old boy standing in the midst of all the teachers, listening to what they're saying and asking them questions. And all of them are astounded at this kid's understanding. And of course, being a good Jewish mother, she runs up, "Oy vey, where have you been?" You know, the whole thing. Doing the whole guilt trip. "Your father and I, we are worried sick about you." You know, that whole thing. He said, "Why were you worried? didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? 12 years old. Fast forward. About 21 years later, he's hanging on a cross. And the very last thing he says as he dies is three words. It is done. It is finished, he said. Listen, there's nothing you can add to that. He did it. The detail is incredible, and his desire was to purchase you. Man, that's good. I don't care who you are. That really is. One more. Why'd he do it? Well, of course, it's great love and devotion and all those things. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as his children. Not just enough to get to heaven. No, you have been fully, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your own Savior, you have been fully vested as God's child, completely done. You have full access to him and everything that he has. The destiny that you have is to live that out. You've already been given everything. The Apostle Paul says, if he sent his own son to buy us, how will he not give us along with him everything? How will he not do it? Jesus once said to his disciples, hey, little flock, don't be afraid. It is your Father's desire to give you the kingdom. Man, what a picture that is. So let me tell you, you couldn't be loved more. I told you just recently of the story of a little girl that was living in an orphanage. And there was a wall around the orphanage, and there was a tree that hung out over the sidewalk. And she climbed the tree, and she scurried out on top of the branch that went over the sidewalk, and she stuck a note in the branches, and she came back and went inside. And the director saw it from her office, and she went out, but she reached up, and she took the note out of the tree. And it simply said, my name is Laura. Will somebody love me? We all go through this world longing for somebody to love us. I'm here to tell you, you are loved. So quit acting like an orphan. Ever see a little granddaughter jump into her grandpa's arms in a swimming pool? Just leap off the edge of that pool. God wants you to take the leaps with him because he's going to catch you. You are not going to drown. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of your past hurts. He will actually protect you as you walk in faith through this world. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Sherry and I were at the Social Security office this week. And that's what you do when you get old. You know all about the Social Security office, right? We went and this nice lady was taking care of Sherry's stuff and all that. She had a lot of, in her cubicle, a lot of pictures, family and all that stuff. And on the top of the bureau behind her were all these teddy bears. Sherry goes, oh, I like your teddy bears. And she was really perceptive in that she asked the question, do any of those have special meaning to you? And she said, well, only the brown one on the end back there. It's a little bit larger than the others. She said, my sister gave that to me when I had a miscarriage. And so we both said we were sorry. And Sherry said, well, she said, Tom, that happened to you and Debbie. I said, yeah, we've been through that. I know what that's like, honey. I'm sorry. And then Sherry asked her the question, because Sherry always asks the right question. She said, did you ever have any other children? And for one moment, she stopped being the professional in the government office, and she looked up, and she said, no. I could never bring myself to be hurt like that again. And she went back to her work. I remember before we left, I said to her, there's something that helped me when Deb, my wife, and I went through this. King David, when his son died in childbirth, King David said something, and I said, I know that this might not be the appropriate place for me to say this to you, but I just want to tell you because it helped me. And she, there was a connection there. There's tears in her eyes. And I said, King David said about his lost child, he cannot come to me, but I'm going to go be with him. And Sherry said something like, you're going to see her someday. And we told her goodbye. But she had been so hurt by that in her life, she couldn't bring herself to trust. See that? Has the hurt in your past not allowed you to really trust him? I mean, you've trusted him as your Savior, but do you think he's just going to let you down like everybody else? He isn't. You have the full rights of a child. Don't be afraid. Now, I have said all this, and as I close, I want to say one more thing. When Peter talked about what God had done to redeem all of us and make all who trust in him his children, he's preaching on the day of Pentecost. And as he ends that great sermon, he says, this is for all of you, but it's also for all of those who are afar off, to all whom our God will call. Now, let me tell you something. You might be hearing this today here or somewhere else, and you're thinking this isn't for you because you think that you're too far away. Now, I know that Peter was talking far away in two ways. First of all, those in the future, okay, that's you. But the other is, you think you've done all these bad things, and you have. But if you're far away, that doesn't limit his ability to love you or forgive you or accept you. It's for you who are far off. So my friends, trust him today. God bless you all. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on, stand up. Lord, thank you for the incredible detail. I mean, look at the creation. The detail of the creation is astounding. And just the detail we know of history of how you brought this all about blows us away. Thank you that the time fully came when you said so and planned it. Thank you, Jesus, that you obeyed your Father and came here. Thank you for all that you went through becoming one of us and taking on the law that condemned, and that you bought us back that we might actually become the sons and daughters of God. Lord, we need your help because we beat the heck out of ourselves all the time and we need you. Would you teach us to dance? Oh, we're so structured. We miss our Bible reading one day and think we're going to hell. Lord, it's just so weird how we're so sick that way. Would you please help us, you who delight in your children, you who delight like we delight in the little kids around here, those in our homes, those here at the church, they're just such a joy. I think of little Valerie yesterday and her eating ice cream across the table from me and how much fun it was to watch her eat that and enjoy it and delight in it and me just being her friend. I can't imagine what it must be to be her father. And yet you delight in us, and we need to trust that. Help us to not test this water, but to dive in. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.